Hey, everybody, before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know we've got another live show coming up. We will be back at Maya Cinemas on Thursday, May 23rd for Furiosa, the latest in the Mad Max series. We are so excited for this one. Joining me to talk about it, we've got Sam Novak, Shahab Zargari, and Tony Gonzalez, a great lineup. It's going to be an awesome movie. We are so excited to talk about it. So make sure to check the show notes. There are opportunities to win tickets. You can also buy tickets, and we hope to see you there Thursday, May 23rd, 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas for Furiosa. All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. But today on the show, it's one of our monthly trailer roundup episodes, and Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year is here to take a look at a whole bunch of movies coming out in the month of May, try to guess some puzzle pieces just based off the trailers, and then we'll see once we end up covering some of these movies, we'll see, you know, if we were right about some of this stuff and see what we ended up liking. But before we get to it, I do want to remind you, first of all, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together. That way you'll find out about all these episodes when they come out. You can also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. But also, I want to get into some listener puzzle pieces. I've got just a few this month, but we did get a few puzzle pieces here from some listeners. So starting off with one of the live shows we did, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, Max Wood mentioned that it reminded him of God of War. And I know he's talking about the new God of War games on PlayStation 5, where it's Kratos and his son surviving in the wild. And that is something that I actually had thought about as well. I didn't end up bringing it up on the show, but definitely for Kong and Baby Kong, just kind of living and him kind of showing him the ropes of survival. I want that movie. Come on, Adam Wingard. Come on, Warner Brothers. Let Adam Wingard make that movie. I want to see it. It would be so awesome. But we do get a little bit of it in Godzilla X Kong. So great one there, Max. Next up, Late Night with the Devil. Ben Blail mentioned Requiem for a Dream, which is one I did not think of, but that is a perfect one. We should have brought that one up, especially with like the imagined kind of show and the person losing their, you know, grip on reality, and just that whole thing, I think is a really great one that would have fit really well in the episode. So great one there, Ben. And then for another live show that we did, Hundreds of Beavers, Jennifer Howell wrote in Jaji Dan's Le Metro. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Probably. It looks right. But which I am not familiar with that film, but was on the filmmaker's list of actual inspirations. If you listened after we did our Hundreds of Beavers episode, we did a special follow-up interview with the director of Hundreds of Beavers, Mike Cheslick, and we mentioned in that interview that they actually posted their own letterboxed list of their actual inspirations, and that movie, Zsa Zsa Dan's Le Metro, is on the list. So that is obviously a good one that should have been included, and maybe something I'm going to have to check out. I should really watch everything on that list because that movie is insane and so much fun. But yeah, that does it for our listener puzzle pieces. As always, if you're listening to an episode of Piecing It Together and you think of a puzzle piece that we don't mention on an episode, please write in. Let me know. I will read them on the next trailers episode. And with that said, let's get to the month of May. All right, Jason Harris is back with us for a new month of movie trailers. Jason, how's it going?
Dave, I'm doing all right. I imagine I'm like many of the listeners on the West Coast here, just getting hammered with the allergy season. My voice isn't all there today, that's why. But hey, the movies, they're still coming. We're still watching trailers.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And yeah, I'm getting it pretty bad myself. But we'll make it through. We got a lot of movies to talk about. Before we do get to the month of May, let's take a quick look back at April and see if we actually saw some of these movies we talked about last month. Starting off with Someone Like You, which I did not see. And I don't think anybody saw it. Did you see it?
What movie is that, Dave?
Don't remember. It was a rom-com. I think the guy's girlfriend dies and he starts dating.
Oh, right.
Twin. Secret twin. Yeah. I don't know. That just kind of came and went. The first Omen, though, was great. I did record an episode on it. And maybe the best, like, legacy prequel to a classic horror movie.
That's awesome to hear. I feel like with the Catholic Church losing so many young people, like joining the church, they should lean into this and be like, if you become Catholic, this might happen to you. And
we've
like,
got demons. We've got devils. You know, it's fun stuff.
A lot of the kids will be like, I'm in.
Yeah. So yeah, that one was
great. Which is of course what a lot of priests said to a lot of kids back in the day.
Oh boy. Oh, next up, speaking of evil religious leaders, actually, Monkey Man was up next, which I did see. I didn't record an episode on. Did you see Monkey Man? I know you were psyched about it.
I was psyched, but this whole month I've been dealing with this sinus infection. I really am way behind on movies this month. So apologies from me and my sinuses.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, Monkey Man was good. It wasn't quite as good as I was hoping for, but definitely some really great action sequences. And I'm really looking forward to see what Dev Patel does next as a director.
Do they use the song "I'm a Monkey" by the Rolling Stones?
No. But that's would've been nice.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
Yeah. Next up was Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which I thought looked kind of funny. You thought looked terrible. But another one, kind of like someone like you, absolutely zero noise. I did not see a single bad or good reaction to this movie.
Don't tell mom this movie came out, apparently, because I didn't even realize it came out anywhere.
Yeah, so strange. Next up is Sting, which I did not get to see. I still kind of want to. It got mixed reviews, but the people who liked it thought it was a lot of fun.
What's your favorite Sting solo song?
I'm actually not a very big Sting fan, to be honest
with you. I'm not either, especially. Yeah. I mean, dude, I love The Police, especially that first album. But, dude, come on. You know, So Lonely,
we're seeing,
Next to You.
Sting and, we're seeing Sting and Billy Joel at the end of the year.
I'd like to do that. I wonder what Sting will do in that. Like, you know, remember when The Police did the reunion and he's like, oh, we should make all these cool songs, like 28-minute tantric yoga songs? And, like, course. Andy Summers and Stuart Copeland are on stage like, oh, just sign my paycheck already, bro.
Yeah, this is fine. Just give me the paycheck. Next up was Arcadian, the end of the world Nicolas Cage creature movie, which I did see and also did not record an episode on this one, but it was solid. It wasn't anything special, but it was some really cool creatures. And Nicolas Cage is good. He's not in it as much as the trailers would, led you to believe.
Right, but obviously you sell on it. So, you know.
Yeah.
We lost our world.
Sasquatch Sunset is up next, which I'm actually going to see tomorrow, so I haven't seen it yet. This is a real love it or hate it movie. People love it or absolutely think it's a waste of time, so I can't wait to see where I fall on this one. The next one is The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, the new Guy Ritchie movie, which I did see, and I'm recording an episode on this weekend at the time of this recording. Not great. It's got its moments, but it does not feel at all like a Guy Ritchie movie, which is a little bit disappointing.
Is this episode just an episode for you to plug other episodes that you're going to be recording?
I've been recording a lot of episodes, so yeah, it could very well be. Feels that way. Although I'm probably not going to ever get to the Rebel Moon movies, which is next. Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver, which by most accounts is even worse than the first one. I don't know. One day, maybe I'll watch the R-rated cuts that he doesn't make the first time around.
Well,
that
are... a real question here, you know?
Yeah.
Because we've talked about, like, especially on Awesome Movie Year, we talk about directors who have, like, all this promise and then don't deliver on the promise. And, you know, some of us would say Kevin Smith from Clerks to where he is now. Huge downgrade. Matthew Vaughn, Layer Cake to where he is now.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder? I mean, we got to be getting close with this dude, right?
I agree completely, because I still think 300 is great, and I think he's made a few really good movies, but yeah, these last few have just been pretty terrible. It's surprising we haven't gotten a Zack Snyder an Awesome Movie here, actually. I'm sure we will one of these days, one of these seasons. But
yeah, why not?
Yeah. Next up is Challengers, the new Luca Guadagnino film, which I have not seen, but I'm going to see later this coming week. I know you haven't seen that one yet either. Also getting very good reviews, although some people are not as hot on it, like your buddy Josh Bell. Then Boy Kills World, which I might also try to squeeze in this weekend. Like I said, when we did the trailer episode, people said it was terrible out of the festivals. But now that, like, general audiences are watching it, like, the normies, they're loving it. They're having fun.
I see a lot of people still hating on it.
Yeah, well, the critics all hate it. But, you know, we'll see where I fall on that one. And then last up for the month, I wanted to include that movie Infested because, as we know, the director is going to be making the next Evil Dead. Although, as we found out today at the time of recording, there's a second new Evil Dead coming out. But I did watch Infested, and it's good. I could totally see what Sam Raimi saw in this guy. It's very, like, gnarly and dark and mean and gritty, and so I'm excited to see what he does next.
Which Evil Dead are you rooting for out of the two?
Well, I haven't seen that other one, which I know Jim Cummings is in, the director's first movie, some Last Train of Yuma or something like that. So I don't know. They both seem like they could be good, but I don't really know that guy's tone. Like, I have a feeling that one's a little bit more comedic. So of course I would be rooting for that because I do want funny Evil Dead back. The last two versions of Evil Dead have been kind of ultra serious. So, you know, I'm all aboard either one though. Let's see what happens. But yeah, that does it for the month of April. Let's get on to what we've got coming in May, starting with The Idea of You, which will be on Prime May 2nd. This is a new movie from director Michael Showalter. He keeps making these very nice, sweet movies. This is based on a popular book about a 40-year-old single mom who ends up in a relationship with a boy band singer who is pretty clearly based on Harry Styles. It stars Anne Hathaway. And it looks cool. It looks all right.
No, it doesn't, Dave. It looks like crap. Stop being an asshole. You know it looks terrible. And the only reason
people
you're
like
saying
this movie.
The only reason you're saying it is because who directed it?
I said Michael Showalter.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Know. So yeah. Screw you, Dave. It looks terrible. You know it looks terrible. But hey, Anne Hathaway, we know she can carry a movie.
Yeah.
I was watching this and I'm like, what is the point of this movie? Like, like you said, it's a woman who gets involved with a singer. So I thought of that Owen Wilson, Jennifer Lopez movie. Was that called I Want to Marry You or something like that?
Oh, Marry Me. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, you can go with any of the older women, younger men, love stories. I'll choose The Graduate because that's a good one.
Yeah, that's the one I went with too. And then also, I didn't come up with this one on my own, but I saw other people say that it's like a gender swapped Notting Hill.
Which, I was thinking that too because of the regular person and the celebrity situation.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah, I don't know. I know people who have seen this movie thought that it was really good. So we will see. Next up is The Fall Guy, which will be in theaters May 3rd. This is from director David Leitch, who has a pretty bad track record, honestly, but looks like it could be fun. It stars Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt about a stuntman who has to find the missing star of the movie that he's being the stuntman for, the stunt double for. I know it got a lot of raves out of South by Southwest. It was like a secret screening there. And like I said, David Leitch, Bullet Train was terrible, so I don't know. But what do you think of this trailer?
Well, I mean, I heard the same thing. Everyone's all pumped about this and like, this is the movie for the summer. But the trailer is not good. Like,
right.
It's all,
I agree.
It's all over the place. It makes me think that the story doesn't connect all the way through. And like, you know, obviously Gosling and Emily Blunt are great. And, you know, I'm sure the quippy romance, will they, won't they, is going to be a thing. However, I didn't hear anything about, you know, she's the director and he's the stuntman. No one said anything about the power vacuum in their budding relationship, right? You know, so
problematic. Oh, no.
Right? I'm just saying, like, it's a double standard with that. So if he was the director and she was the stunt woman, he'd be HR'd right now, right to the Me Too court. But I know, Dave, you celebrated yesterday when they threw out the Harvey Weinstein rape conviction. So
yes, absolutely.
Anyway, you know, movie. The first thing I thought of was Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, where a film star has to go on a quest beyond film to save someone, right? And then this kind of reminded me, I mean, we covered Argo on, you know, on Awesome Movie Year. Anything using movies to do something bigger, I think, kind of fits this. Mm-hmm. And also that last year, is it The Lost City, the Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum one, where sure. you're really just playing with, like, action and fame and reality all together.
Yeah, you could put Romancing the Stone in there with that, which was clearly an inspiration for The Lost City. I put Tropic Thunder, you know, action within the world of making movies and all that kind of stuff. And then a movie that you know I hate, but I felt like it was a good piece to throw in here, The Bubble, the Judd Apatow movie. As far as this, like, oh, movies, aren't they silly kind of comedy. Like you said, this trailer just does not do it for me, but I love Ryan Gosling, and I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for
Of course, I'm so, you know, did anyone need the remix of Any Way You Want It by Journey?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Tropic Thunder. If we don't get to that on Awesome Movie Year, that would be a great Breaking It Apart episode for you.
That would be, actually. Maybe we'll do that one of these days, as we just got back the Breaking It Apart series here on Piecing It Together.
I haven't been invited to do one yet.
Jason, maybe that'll be yours. Next up is I saw the TV Glow, which will be in theaters May 3rd. This is the second film from Jane Schoenbrunn after We're All Going to the World's Fair, which I hopefully this is a little more accessible because that movie everybody raved about and I just didn't get it at all. I just thought it was awful. But this looks more fun, more interesting, more weird, about a guy and a girl who they're kind of losing their grip on reality, and they think it's because of this old TV show they grew up watching, and it's got this really weird aesthetic to it, and I don't know, it's a weird one to get a handle on. What'd you think of this trailer?
I love this trailer. This looks original and different, and it made me, you know, We're All Going to the World's Fair has been on my watch list for a while, but I haven't gotten to it, but now I'm going to definitely go back and watch it. You know, this is a weird puzzle piece. But the entire trailer just feels like an LCD sound system music video to me.
Nice.
And I mean, there are definitely elements of like Stranger Things in there. And then WALL-E. And then I thought, you remember the movie Stay Tuned with John Ritter, where he gets pulled into the TV and then has to live in the TV? That was the other one I thought of, you know, The Ring, all that stuff. But this, I get excited for stuff that looks really original and like looks like it has a voice and looks like it has like a direction. Like, hey, we know where we're going. This is a good month. I think there's about three or four I'm really excited for. This is definitely one of them.
Right on. Yeah, I think it looks good. I'm a little cautious because of how much I did not connect with We're All Going to the World's Fair. But yeah, I'm hopeful for it. And the trailer does look good. I thought of that movie Brigsby Bear, the Kyle Mooney comedy where people kind of take it upon themselves to finish a children's TV show that got canceled when they were kids. So there's that weird kind of connection to children's TV. And then Videodrome, as far as, you know, kind of maybe the horror aspects of this. I'm not really quite sure where you would place this genre-wise, but I mean, you said Stranger Things.
But I like Videodrome as pick, and it's interesting. I was listening to Script Notes this week, and Craig Mazin was talking about, like, the list of greatest movies and the ones you should watch and shouldn't watch, and he got to Videodrome. He's like, nah, you don't need to watch that. And I'm like, what? That's like maybe the all-time Cronenberg classic, right? Yeah. Like, that's a dope movie. And also James Woods before he went crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to hear what you think about this next one. This is on Netflix May 3rd. It is Unfrosted, the inexplicable return of Jerry Seinfeld, directing a movie about the creation of the Pop-Tart. It stars Hugh Grant, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, a whole bunch of comedy-related people. What do you think about this?
I mean, Seinfeld did good on the season finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm, or the series finale. I was really happy to see that, and they really nailed that. Obviously, he's got carte blanche to do whatever he wants, and this feels like the slightest idea, which makes sense for him. We don't know about him as a director. I find it interesting that he decided, like, hey, I'm not going to really cast a bunch of actors. I'm going to cast 17,000 comedians.
Sure.
It doesn't really look like a movie.
Right.
But I'll watch it. It's Seinfeld. So, I mean, you know, pick any of those stupid IP movies from last year, Flaming Hot. And, you know, Air wasn't stupid. Air was good. But any of those. And then the other one I put, I went in a completely different direction. Because if you look at that last screen where it's like starring And it literally has about 60 names. It's like a Comedy Fest lineup, right? Mm-hmm. I thought of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World because of all the famous comedians in there.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. I was actually planning on rewatching that soon. So maybe I will before this movie use it as a puzzle piece. But yeah, as far as like the IP movies, I was thinking of The Founder specifically, the McDonald's Ray Kroc one. And then another piece that I was thinking about, like we said, there's a ton of stand-ups in this, and Jim Gaffigan himself is in this. Jim Gaffigan's stand-up routine. I mean, all of those food jokes, the Hot Pocket and all that kind of stuff. This feels like... It wouldn't have surprised me if Jim Gaffigan was the one to direct a movie about the creation of the Pop-Tart.
Toilet pockets!
So next up is Tarot, which will be at theaters 5/10. It's just awful looking middle-of-the-road horror movie about tarot cards.
It doesn't look like a movie. It looks like a fake trailer or something.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And it's just every, you know, one of these kind of horror movie cliches in the book. There's nothing, you know, we make fun of the term elevated horror, but there's no elevated horror here. It's just total straightforward, you know, like kind of a January dump horror movie, but coming out in summertime. But I don't know. What do you have for pieces on this one?
I put Ouija because they had made, you know, this feels like, hey, here's a thing that could be translated into a horror movie, right?
Sure.
And I wrote down the word humans, but I have no idea what it's referring to. So
there was something, a movie called Humans. With,
I watched that Stephen movie,
Young,
yeah. And, but it's not this.
No.
So any movie involving a human being, I will say, is the answer to that.
Okay, that works. That fits. Yeah, I also had Ouija. I also had Talk to Me, which this trailer looks like it is really trying to kind of capitalize on young, attractive people hanging out at a party playing a game.
So I'm going to give you a piece for this now that I wrote humans down. Cleo from 5/7, Agnes Varda, one of her classics. The opening sequence is Cleo at a tarot card reader, and it kind of leads into the day and her mood of the day. So that's a good deep cut for you bozos out there to check out.
Beautiful, beautiful. Next up is We Grown Now, which will be in theaters May 10th, directed by Minhal Baig, who did Hala, which I remember got a lot of raves. It's a coming-of-age story about two best friends dreaming about what good things life could have in store for them, even though the odds aren't exactly in their favor, being young and poor. I don't know. What did you think about this one? It looks pretty heavy, but
I'm excited for it. Like, it was tough to like place pieces for it. Cause you know, I thought of a lot of these like kind of, Peter Pan type movies. Like, the one that we talked about when we did Beasts of the Southern Wild and everything, like, with these kids wanting to escape their upbringing and of you know, social economic status, and they kind of move into this different world. So I thought of, I think that one was Peter Pan and Wendy, or what, or just Wendy or whatever. I thought of that. I thought of Boyhood because this really seems like it's tackling that journey of adolescence. And I really thought they did a good use of location setting. It looks like it's inner city New York and kind of growing up there. And so I picked Jonathan Levine's The Wackness, which is a lost classic, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, that's a good one for sure. Yeah, I was thinking about Boyhood also. And then I also thought about The Florida Project.
I thought about that too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, kids don't really have much to dream for, but they do anyway. And then We the Animals, the Jeremiah Zager film, about three kids who are just kind of doing their best to live and grow with their kind of dead-end father, but that kind of fits in with some of that other stuff like Beasts of the Southern Wild and things like that. So yeah, could be a good one.
I think
looking forward to it. All right, next up, if you had told me in the middle of the pandemic, when one of the only new movies we had was The Dry with Eric Bana, that there would be a sequel called Forces of Nature, The Dry 2, coming out in theaters a few years later, I would not believe you, Jason, but here we are.
I mean, I didn't know The Dry was based on a series of books, right?
So, right.
You know, you take this detective and you just, it's a different adventure, just like, you know, our friend Pierrot or whatever. But
sure,
I've used The Dry as a puzzle piece before. I like The Dry. I like Eric Bana. I actually like him way better in stuff like this than when he's like Hollywood Eric Bana. Mm-hmm. So, and I also think it's cool, you know, the first one is really in one of those like crunchy towns, like just desolated desert. It's extremely dry, as the title says. This one, exact opposite. We're going into the woods. We're going into this deep, lush terra and terrain. And I think it could be good. I'm going to watch it, dude. I like the dry. I'm in on the dry. So
I can't honestly say that I remember it very well, but I do remember watching it and enjoying it. And so, yeah, I mean, maybe I'll give this one a chance once it comes out. But what do you got for pieces?
So, I mean, you could say it's too concurrent, but I've been watching Under the Bridge. Have you been watching that new Lily Gladstone show?
Yeah, it's good. Heard about it, though. Yeah, it looks like it could probably be pretty good.
It's good, and they're trying to solve a murder where there's, in this situation in the dry, there's five women who go into the woods and only four come back. And it's that same type of thing where there's like a bunch of girls who go and beat this girl up under the bridge, and they're trying to figure out what happened to her. That kind of, and everyone's got their own different story. This person's involved, that person's involved. And then, you know, there's definitely that survival element out in the woods. So I picked one that I don't think we've talked about today before. The Edge with Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin, which was a cool movie in the 90s.
Yeah, no, that was a good movie. I think it might have come up on the Beast episode of Piecing It Together. But
I used a quote from The Edge as one of my yearbook quotes senior year. Today, I'm going to kill me a motherfucker.
That's your yearbook quote?
That was one of them. And I think the other was, it was from a sketch that I wrote where it said, Randall says, nap, no taste, utily D. So you could tell it was a good sketch.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, in my yearbook, me and a couple of friends, we had like a whole rift between our groups of friends, and we used a Tupac quote. What we helped create, we will destroy. It's time to take revenge on our old boys. That was our yearbook.
You could be in a mystery like this then.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Did you win any senior superlatives?
I don't think so. I still have my yearbooks. I'd have to bring them out and see. I can't really remember. Although I will tell you that a guy who went to my school ended up writing for The Simpsons. He wrote in the school paper the top 10 places for the high school reunion, and number one was Rosen's house.
There you go. That's
so
nice.
That's something. But anyway, my puzzle piece is here. Well, I mean, you brought up Under the Bridge. I was just, you know, thinking kind of any prestige show, True Detective, you know, Top of the Lake, you know, kind of all those kind of fit in here with the vibe of this. And then I was also thinking, because of the setting, I was thinking of, was it called Winter's Bone?
That's a great movie.
Yeah. Something like that. Like that kind of a setting. And like you said, like the setting's kind of changed here from the first dry to this one.
Which I think is a smart idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So next up will be Pool Man, which will be out on May 10th. This is Chris Pine's directorial debut about an idiot pool cleaning guy who gets involved in this whole politics crime thing. Also stars Danny DeVito and Jennifer Jason Leigh and Annette Bening. Everybody hated this movie, and I think it looks freaking hilarious. So I know
you already said you love it, and I'm like, that's not fair. At least watch it before you say that.
I will not say that I truly love it until I watch it, but I love the trailer, and I think it looks great.
Yeah, so back in the day when I was on tour, I had a movie that J.B. Rogers, the director of American Pie 2, wanted to direct, and I visited him on set when they were making a movie called Pool Boys, which was actually a kind of fun, low-budget comedy. So I wanted to throw that in there because I don't think anyone's ever seen it, you know? So, and then, you know, any of those kind of stoner California mystery movies, Lebowski and Inherent Vice were the two that I picked.
Yeah.
But you could also go with something like, which is not a stoner comedy, but like a being there, someone who kind of ends up in a place they're not supposed to and keeps going there.
Sure, absolutely. I put The Big Lebowski, like you said, Inherent Vice could work. I put Under the Silver Lake, and you know, The Long Goodbye, any of those kind of Shaggy Dog mysteries.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to our friend Joe Black's Natasha Hall Suffrage, which it really looks a lot like this.
We're both in.
Yeah, we are both in. We've got little voice roles, and everybody go watch Suffrage. It's on.
Shout out
Amazon.
To that bag of pudding, Joe Black.
Yeah, who, by the way, has seen Pool Man and loves it. And
well, that doesn't bode well for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was also thinking of The Late Show, the Art Carney movie that we covered on Awesome Movie Year.
That kinda fits in with that whole vibe. Yeah, those kind of shaggy detective movies. But yeah, next up is If, which will be in theaters May 17th. This is John Krasinski taking a break from A Quiet Place to make a family-friendly adventure with Ryan Reynolds about imaginary friends come to life. It also features voices from Awkwafina, Steve Carell, Emily Blunt, a bunch of other people too. It looks kind of stupid, but you know, harmless and family fun, and apparently is tracking for a huge opening weekend.
That's cool. I mean, I have two questions on this one. One, like, hey man, fart joke, that's cool, but like, are we getting to the point where we're overdoing it here? Like, the whole preview is just fart jokes, right? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And two, if Ryan Gosling and Ryan Reynolds fucked, who would come first, Dave?
I don't know how to answer that question.
I just feel like they're all, you know, in our face all the time.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely are.
Inside Out was the first pick, you know, because you're looking at those kind of imaginary friends, or which there is one in the original, but also like feelings, you know, giving them kind of personification. I thought the meta nature of that Chippendale Rescue Rangers movie that came out on Disney Plus, The Lonely Island did. And of course, anytime I get to mention Drop Dead Fred, I'm going to do it.
Hell yeah, that's a good one right there. I, along with your Inside Out, I'll throw Big Hero 6 on there as far as big goofy creature, you know, animated movies go. And then just this year, we had Imaginary. We've had a lot of these like double ups of like similar ideas this year, but that was a Blumhouse horror imaginary friend movie, which you can definitely do a double feature with. So
I actually pitched one to Russell Brand's company back in the day. Where it was called Monster in the Closet, and it was about a kid who had a monster in the closet. And first, no one believed him, and then the whole town decided, like, oh, he's a monster, we got to kill him. So the kids have to like band together and save the monster. Nice. As I pitch it now, it sounds like a good movie.
Yeah, it really does. It absolutely does. I'd watch it. Next up is something I won't watch. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse biopic, which will be in theaters May 17th. We already know what it is. It looks exactly the same as every one of these that comes every few months.
I was going to give this one a little credit because in the preview, they're like the story of one of the greatest albums that ever came out. So at least there's like a little focus around it as opposed to, you know, the life biopic or whatever.
Yeah. And like speeding up the whole life into what feels like a week, but actually it's like everything that ever happened to them. But
yeah, I don't love, again, I mentioned this with like the Any Way You Want It, but like even in these biopics, like why are we remixing or, you know, doing different versions of the song? Like if your whole idea is to like sell it because the song is so cool, then like play the damn song, you know? Right, but yeah, exactly. So on the bat, on the one end, I put Whitney because I thought that was the worst looking one of all of them. Mm. And then I wanted to put a good one, like before all these, before this iteration of music biopics came out, and it was just like pop star karaoke, and they actually like tried to make biopics and like teach you about the people. The Ian Drury biopic with Andy Serkis, Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. It's a weird little, yeah, it's pretty cool. You should check it out. So
right on, yeah.
Ian Drury, he'll hit you with a rhythm stick.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, so I mean, you know, just getting out of the way, all the basics, the Bohemian Rhapsodies, the Rays, all that stuff. My good one that I wanted to include, not a actual biopic, but about a singer who's kind of a mess, Wild Rose with Jesse Buckley, which is a great movie and, you know, definitely has that kind of a character to it where she kind of can't get her stuff together, even though she's wildly talented. So that's a good movie to watch, and if Back to Black is even close to that, maybe it'll be something. We will see. Next up is Thelma the Unicorn on Netflix, also May 17th. Netflix, they keep putting these animated movies out every few months. This one's directed by Jared Hess of Napoleon Dynamite, as well as Lin Wang. Voices from Will Forte, Edie Patterson, Jermaine Clement, John Heder, Zach Galifianakis. A lot of, you know, a lot of funny people in it. as far as, you know, how good it looks, I can't really gauge this thing. What do you think of this?
I don't think it looks good. When I saw it was from Hess, I was a little worried, although because I don't think he's made a good narrative film since Napoleon Dynamite, or at least that's really a little unfair for me to say, because I don't even know if I've seen one of his narratives since then. But I did watch that three-part murder in Mormon country that he did, and that was great. So, but this, I know it's like a best-selling book, but it looks terrible. It's like, oh, I'm a horse pretending to be a unicorn so people let me sing. Like, I don't need this, but you know, Netflix put out the Lyle Lyle Crocodile movie. Was that the one?
Oh, yeah.
Where like the guy wants to like, he's a crocodile and he wants to go to New York. Is that the right one? I don't know. They're all stupid. Leave me alone.
That seems like a big thing with these kids' movies lately is animals that really want to sing really bad.
I did put sing in there. And then, of course, this Thelma the Unicorn is trying to encapsulate a different identity. She's a real talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, boy. Yeah, definitely. That's a good one. I like it. I also put sing. And then I put The Last Unicorn just because it's a unicorn movie, and I really just didn't know what to make of this. But I like that, The Talented Mr. Ripley. If I do this
episode... Have you watched Ripley? Everyone says it's great.
I want to. Like, if I watch any... You know, I don't ever make time for these series, but if I watch any, it would be that. So
What a compliment.
Yes, that is. That's a big compliment coming from me. Next up is Babes, which will be out May 17th in limited release. Ilana Glazer and Michelle Buteau star as two single women dealing with pregnancy. It looks pretty damn funny. It's directed by Pamela Adlon. It's a very simple premise, but a lot of really funny people in it, and the trailer is very funny.
Yeah, it looks good. I didn't see who directed this, did you?
It's Pamela Adlon.
So, oh, I didn't mean direct. I'm sorry. I know that. I meant wrote it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not sure who wrote it.
Well, I know. And who directed this, Dave?
Yeah, it's actually Pamela Adlon.
No, who directed it, though? I want this to be good. This definitely feels like, I mean, I put down the two Apatow movies because that's what it really reminds me of. And I've talked about other single mother movies before, so I wanted to just go with the feel. Definitely some train wreck and definitely some knocked up in here.
Yeah. I was thinking about train wreck as well. Bridesmaids seems like a very easy comparison to make, but I threw that on here. And Broad City is another easy comparison to make. It's weird that Ilana Glazer and Abby Jacobson haven't done other stuff together since then.
I mean, Keegan and Jordan, you know, Keegan Peele really haven't either. So, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Next up is Sight, which will be in theaters May 24th. I didn't even realize when I put this on the list that it was an Angel Studios movie, but they're making money, and so they're going to just keep having high-profile
movies. I know, this one is weird, though, because it's like an Asian doctor and like an Indian kid, and neither of those people are white and live in Utah.
Imagine that. They're really stretching out their legs here. Yeah, I'm sure this will be terrible, but you know, I'm sure it'll make a lot of money. They'll pre-sell the tickets to churches. But yeah, it's about a doctor who is trying to save a kid's eyesight, and it is a you know, a spiritual or religious type of movie. But I don't know. What do you have for pieces here?
Hey, did you? The best part of this preview is at the end when the guy who plays the doctor and the doctor, the real doctor, start talking in a camera. Did you see that part?
No, I don't.
Oh, you should have stayed tuned for that. It's like, I'm Terry, blah, blah, blah. And I play Dr. So-and-so. And I'm the real doctor, so-and-so. And real doctor is just there, like, just trying to fire off jokes. Like, see, I'm as good looking as him. So, of course, he has to play me. And I'm like,
He wants to be the next Ken Jeong, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some past lives elements in here about a Asian person who comes from a specific culture and moves to America and has to adapt. And I was thinking of real life doctor movies, and I thought of Patch Adams. So those are my two. Okay, you go now.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I thought of Breakthrough, that Christian movie from 2019 where the kid falls through the ice and they need a miracle to save him, you know. And then The Fountain, the Darren Aronofsky movie about someone just obsessed with finding some kind of medical breakthrough to, you know, to save someone. So
Darren Aronofsky came to BattleBots, Dave.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
Did you?
No. I was busy.
It's only going 5 nights a week, so yeah, I get it.
Next up is Atlas on Netflix, May 24th. This is Jennifer Lopez. I can't believe this movie. It looks like this gigantic CGI sci-fi extravaganza, and it has not been advertised at all whatsoever. They're just like throwing money at nothing for no reason. But it looks super glossy, super derivative. It's got a strong supporting cast. Sterling K. Brown's in it. Mark Strong. Simu Liu. I don't even know what it's about. I couldn't really parse it. It was just a whole bunch of CGI. What did you think this was about?
This looks like if AI was a toilet and then wrote a movie. That's what it looks like. It looks fucking terrible, dude. Like, what? Again, we're talking about, if you can't even follow the thread in the preview, what is the movie going to be, right?
Yeah.
So, speaking of Netflix movies that look terrible, I put down Rebel Moon.
Sure.
And, you know, then there's this element of like the AI needs the person to work with it. And is it sentient? Does it have feelings? So I just put AI.
Easy enough. Yeah, I mean, giving it way too much credit, I put Edge of Tomorrow and Alita Battle Angel, which are both movies that I love. And then I met people in mech suits in the snow. I went with this video game, Lost Planet, which is a pretty big video game series where you're in mech suits in the snow. So it feels like it's definitely taking a page from that. But yeah, it looks pretty bad. And Netflix, they love just pumping money into these movies.
I mean, she does really well. Jennifer Lopez, like The Mother, was a huge hit for him. So who knows?
Absolutely. And I am a defender of This Is Me Now, which is one of the craziest movies I've seen all year. So
I don't even know if I remember that one.
Yeah, so it's her sort of documentary, sort of crazy, over the top, ridiculous music video, like feature length music video. But it's nuts. Anyway, our next one, our last one for the month is Ezra, which will be in theaters May 31st, directed by actor Tony Goldwyn, stars Robert De Niro, Rose Byrne, Bobby Cannavale, Vera Farmiga, and Whoopi Goldberg, and more, about a stand-up comedian with an autistic son who takes him on the road because he has a chance to be on a late-night talk show, but he can't leave him alone, and it turns into a whole father-son road trip thing. It looks pretty good.
Looks all right. I'm happy. Look, I mean, Bobby Cannavale is a star. We always want him to do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I mean, look, Louis, the Louis C.K. show, was, which everyone loved, and then obviously you're not allowed to talk about. And I'm not talking about anything beyond the show itself here, but like the idea of a comedian having to raise kids, I thought was done really well with Louis. And then, kind of the familial autistic element. I haven't seen it in a while, but I wonder how Rain Man holds up today.
I would imagine it's still great. I mean, you know, of course, there might be some that would say that it's not a good representation. But I mean, it's, you know, it's a classic. And I definitely thought of it. The other one I thought of was Big Daddy, as far as somebody who needs to kind of step it up and, you know, become a good father figure. So, yeah, I'm sure there's other good father-son road trip movies that would fit on this one if I was to do an episode.
I actually thought of a marriage story, the Noah Baumbach movie, which is not that, but it is about parents going to all lengths to like protect their children and be a part of their lives, and I thought this had elements of that.
Right on, right on. Well, we'll kind of speed round through a few other things because there are some other movies coming in May. First of all, Robot Dreams, which was one of the best movies of last year and is finally getting a limited release on May 31st, and then we'll roll out in wider in June. I just don't understand what Neon is doing with this movie. Everybody should see it when it does come out. It's so good. But a 2023 movie coming out in wide release in June is just insane to me.
Yeah, you had January and February and March even to dump this, but
yeah, and it was Oscar really nominated,
right? And I've had this on my watch list for a long time. I'm really excited for it. So
yeah,
I don't know either, but I, you know, who knows? Sometimes
so weird. I do have an episode for it. It'll be out whenever it does hit wide release. Next up is Garfield, another, you know, redo of Garfield. They'll just keep doing those every 5 or 6 years, I'm sure. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, I'm super excited for, even though I felt like we left it in a good place, but of course we can't stop the IP train. It'll be in theaters May 10th. You think it looks good?
Yeah, I do, but you know, it's gone like in the complete reversal, right? Where like the apes are talking and running society, and do humans even communicate anymore with language? I don't know.
I don't think so, because in the last one, and this is a direct sequel, even though it's a new, you know, creative team behind it. In the last one, the disease had spread to humans and they've gone mute and can't speak anymore. So,
yeah, I mean, they had made so many good ones. So, I don't know. Hey, Dave, of course you are. You love those movies about primates.
I do. Godzilla X Kong, probably my number one movie of the year so far. next up, The Strangers Chapter One, which I just can't believe this is supposed to be, I think, three parts. Why we need a three-part remake of The Strangers is beyond me.
Oh, when did I feel like The Strangers just came out like 3 years ago.
It was about 10 years ago. It's not that long ago. Yeah. Truly bizarre, but I know they're positioning it as, you know, one of the big horror movies of the summer. So,
hey, horror's not doing too well this year, huh?
It started off good, but I mean, I think maybe there's just a couple too many. Well, you know,
maybe Taro will save everyone.
Yeah, for sure. And then the last one I got to mention, George Miller is back with Furiosa, a Mad Max story, which will be in theaters May 24th. And on May 23rd, we are doing a live show up at Maya Cinemas with Shahab Zargari, Sam Novak, and Tony Gonzalez. I cannot wait for this movie. What do you think, Jason? Are you excited for it?
Probably the number one movie I'm looking forward to for the summer, I'd say.
You should call in sick from BattleBots and come out to the show.
You should come to BattleBots and take my part, and then I'll moderate the piecing it together.
Sounds like a plan. So that does it for May. Jason, is there a movie you watched recently you want to recommend to our listeners?
Oh, I do have one, Dave. Hold on, because I thought I watched something. Dave, this is me vamping. I watched something the other day, and I was like, oh, this will be a good one to mention. Oh, I see, Dave, looking on Letterboxd at you, where I'm go for Jason, that you just watched the second Mad Max or the third Mad Max?
I just watched both, first and second, yeah.
Where's the second one airing at? I didn't see it.
So. It's on Tubi.
Oh, okay, Tubi. I know Tubi. Hey, I watched a movie that you should watch. It's called Molly and Max in the Future. Do you know about this movie?
I heard it's really good. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's a cool, low-budget, like, sci-fi, futuristic, I'm not even going to call it like a walk and talk, but like one of those like Rye Lane or Before Sunrise type, you know, rom-com-y type things. And Zasha Mamet's the star, and the effects, they really pull it off. Like, it's good. This is a good movie. Watch it. It's on Hoopla right now.
Okay. I'm Hoopla. Going to watch it. Once I get done with my Mad Max marathon, I think that'll be the next thing I watch.
Yeah. So what do you got? So you watched the first one?
And second, which I both put at 3.5 stars. I think they're both good for different reasons, but I'm excited to get to Beyond Thunderdome and see.
Maybe I'll watch the second one again, because I just watched the first recently. And when I say again, I mean for the first time.
Yes. Good to redo those things. But anyway, Jason, what do you got going on? You're super busy this month.
Oh, dude, I need a rest. Doing all the jokes, doing all the shows. May 3rd, I'll be at the Comedy Store. Sold out right now at the Belly Room, live from the Belly Room for the Netflix is a Joke Fest. If you're in LA, man, come say hi. We'll talk movies or whatever. Lots of comedy coming up, and just doing shows and trying to make movies, but you bums don't send me money.
Maybe they will this time, Jason. It's always great doing these trailers episodes with you. I'm sure we'll get you back again sometime soon.
Probably next month.
Yeah. All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about some of the movies coming out in May 2024. Thanks to Jason Harris for joining me on that one, and thanks to all of you for listening. If you're enjoying Piecing It Together, make sure you are subscribed. Like I said, we have a lot of episodes on the way. I think I've got like 6 recorded right now at the time of this recording that have not made it up to the feed yet, but you can get them early over on our Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, from Awesome Movie Year, and from my music career. Lots of great stuff over there. I'm also starting to post some video versions of some of the podcast episodes, as well as all of the early access stuff from all of the things that I do. So check it out. If you're enjoying the show, just keep on listening, keep making sure you're subscribed, keep on sharing, send in your puzzle pieces. But if you want to help support the show, you could also sign up over at patreon.com/bydavidrosen and get access to all that stuff. So with that said, I do want to give one more plug that we have a live show coming up this month. It is Thursday, May 23rd, 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas with Shahab Sargari, Tony Gonzalez, and Sam Novak. It is going to be an amazing show. We are talking Furiosa. I have been waiting for this one for a while now. This is, of course, the spinoff from Mad Max Fury Road, and it looks absolutely insane. George Miller is one of the best that we've got going, and I am so excited to see this movie and talk about it. Great lineup. Should be a fun night. So hopefully we'll see you out. I'm not sure if the details on tickets will be up at the time that you hear this, but if not, they'll be up any day now. So keep an eye out, and I hope to see you there if you're in Las Vegas. Let's close this out with a piece of music like I always do. And if you've been listening for a while, you know I'm in the middle of this 24 for 2024 series where I'm releasing a new song on the first and third Friday of every month of 2024. That's 24 songs in 2024. And I'm going to play one that's not out yet. This is a track called Shadow Self. It will be out a little later this year as part of this series, but you're getting to hear it now. So hope you enjoy Shadow Self, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.